I want you to open your Bibles, please. We are glad to have all of you here. We appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Find the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 45. And we've been going for some time through the book of Isaiah. And while you find your place there, and then I'm going to have you to turn to a New Testament passage in the book of James, James chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 45, and then the book of James chapter number 4. And I'll try to tie the two together here in just a few minutes. I want you to really pray. There are two things that there's so many things to pray about. Now, I don't want to overload you with prayer requests this morning, but I want you to pray about next Sunday. I believe next Sunday, the first Sunday of New Year, is going to be a fantastic service. God's been dealing with me about something. I've shared it with just one other person, that what God wants me to do next Sunday. And you pray, but I'm asking you to pray about the services next Sunday. And then next Sunday night, Brother Jonathan Parnell is going to be with us. And Brother Jonathan's been in Bible college, and he's home for Christmas, and so he's preaching a lot of other churches around. But he's going to be with us next Sunday night, and it'll be a real blessing for us to get to hear Brother Jonathan. Welcome to all, I guess. I saw Penny and Chris come in. They've got his folks with them this morning, a whole row full down here. I'm glad that they're here. And then Brother Cabot and his family are here this morning, and other visitors, we're glad you're here. And I'll try to get you out of here quick as I can, but I want to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. Will you listen? Look in your Bible. Anybody got any idea? Don't raise your hand. What's going to happen tomorrow? We really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And a lot of people have a lot of questions about America, about our economy, about our political climate, about what's going on in the world. What's going to happen tomorrow? And I wanted to deal with this passage of Scripture, but I want to give you something special. And I'm going to preach to you in just a few minutes on what I know is going to happen in 2010. And you say, Brother Billy, you're a prophet. No, but I know there's some things going to happen. And I want to share those with you from the Word of God. But in light of that, I want to read you a passage of Scripture here in Isaiah 45. We're going through the book of Isaiah. And here, God has been dealing with the nation of Israel. He brought them into the land of promise. And he said, as long as they walk with God, as long as they're faithful with God, he'd bless them and take care of them. He said, but if you rebel and you turn your back on me, he said, I'll cast you out of the land. Well, that's exactly what's happened. And he kept his word. He sent the northern kingdom in captivity under the Assyrians, the southern kingdom under the Babylonians, and now they're scattered abroad. They're not living on their homeland. They're not living where their grandparents lived. The children are in exile. They're all serving as servants in other lands. But God has made a promise. He said, I'm going to bring you back. After 70 years, I'll bring you back. And he says, the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to raise up another world power, the Persians. And the leader of that world power is going to be Cyrus. And here, the prophet of God prophesies this man's name several years before he ever came on the scene. And so here's that story. But what he's saying is, I know what's going to happen, not tomorrow, but 70 years down the road. And can I tell you something? God knows not only what's going to happen today and tomorrow and in all of 2010, but he knows the beginning from the end. He knows the whole thing. He's got it all in hand. And I want you to know one thing. While you and I worry sometime and we roll our hands and we are fearful, I want you to know God's not worried about any of it. Amen. He's got everything well in hand. But listen to what he says. And let me read these verses for you. You follow as I read. Thus saith the Lord unto his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. And I preached the other Sunday on, he'll hold your hand. And the residue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of the king, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob is my servant, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, and have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Now, isn't that unusual? God's using a man, he's going to use a man that doesn't even know him. And I want you to know the Bible says he's got the heart of the king in his hand. He has power to raise up and he has power to take down. And so not only those who are Christians, not only those who are submissive to him, I want you to know God's in control of the whole shooting match. He's got everything well in hand. He said, I am the Lord and there's none else. There's no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west
that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there's none else. I formed the light, and I created darkness. I made peace and created evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the sky pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Warn him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand, and command ye me. He said, I know what's going to happen in the future. And he said, you ask me about it. I know what's going to happen. I have made the earth and created man upon it, even my hands, and have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in the chains shall they come, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication of thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there's none else. There is no God. That means no other God than our God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded. All them, they shall go in confusion together that are markers, makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it and created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Now that's the difference between that and the moon. He created this world to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there's none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, and I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, that ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of the graven images, and pray unto the God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring ye them, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there's none besides me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. Boy, I'm blessed by that. I was looking at emails this morning. I know some of you find it hard to believe, but I was looking over our emails. I had an email in there from Pakistan, and a dear brother who'd found the website of the Highway Shepherd and was writing to me. I had received a letter on yesterday from a brother in India that's a missionary there. And then I was looking and had an email in there also from India and then from the Philippines. And I'm thankful that he is a Savior and a God in the whole world. He doesn't have a plan of salvation for the Filipino and one for the American. He doesn't have a plan of salvation for the Afghan and then one for the American. No, it's the same plan all around the whole world. Whosoever will may come, and whosoever can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. He said, verse 23, I have, and by the way, I had some from Ronnie and from Brother Jim and their ministry in Africa, and well, what a blessing. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. That's going to happen. You write it down in a book, that's going to happen. Every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even in him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now, I want to read one quick passage in the book of James, and I promise you my scripture reading is almost as long as my message, and I'll try to get through. But notice in James chapter 4, and look at verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Let me turn over a little bit. I have the wrong Pastor James chapter 4. And then in verse number 13, look at it. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen to what it says in this passage of Scripture. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Listen, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth not, to him it is sin. That little phrase said this. He said this, you don't know what is on tomorrow. But I want to share with you, there's some things that I do know about tomorrow. I do know a few things that happened in 2010. Just as God told Cyrus, he's told us some things, not by divine revelation, so far as a visitation of an angel, anything like that, but in his precious book, he's told us some things that happened. Will you pray with me? And I want to bring you just a little quick message this morning on what will happen in 2010. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the wonderful Sunday school hour. God, thank you for your mercy and grace, for the great singing of the choir this morning, and for the brother Brad. Bless, Lord, him now as he ministers over at Burnell. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, will minister there. And I pray, God, that you touch this time together. Lord, I pray, God, for folk who are anxious about the future, that, God, you'll speak to their heart. And, God, I pray, God, that you just give me a word to speak to all those who may not know Christ, that they might be saved today. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I got three little things I'm going to say to you this morning about some things I know is going to happen. I'm not trying to be a prophet. I'm not trying to prophesy. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. But I can tell you three things I know for sure are going to happen. You can write them down, and then we'll look at them in just a minute. Number one, wicked men will wax worse and worse. Wicked men will wax worse and worse. Number two, the wicked one will war against the church. And number three, our wonderful Savior will be faithful to the end. Those little three things, we could go home. In fact, if you get to Sunday school assembly, you could rewind it and play it back, Brother Ricky. Let me say this to you. Wicked men are going to get worse and worse. No need in you thinking America's going to get better. It's not fixed to get better. You say, Brother Billy, that's awful pessimistic. That's gloom, despair. No, I want to show you something. Look in your Bible, please, in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I'm not saying I had a dream last night. God showed me this in a dream. I don't put much stock in dreams. I do know this. God speaks to people, but I'm dealing primarily with the Word of God because I know that this Word is settled in heaven. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now watch this. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's saying this. He said, wicked men are going to wax worse and worse. Now, that's going to happen in America. It's going to happen in India. It's going to happen around the world. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I know many of you feel like I do. You feel like you're living in a country that's completely different than you were born in. And you're exactly right. It's gotten worse, and it's going to get worse. I heard on the news the other day that murders are down and this is down. I'm talking about wicked men. It says here, wicked men, evil men, and seducers will wax worse and worse. And that's coming in these last days. And sin is going to increase in America. It's going to increase around the world. It's going to get more and more. Notice something else. Turn back in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to what it says here. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and have their conscience seared with a hot iron. And you can read the rest of that on down through there. I tell you, not only are wicked men going to wax worse and worse in sin, but in seduction. You're living in a very seductive age. There's a great spiritual move just intensifying in this country. You look at people just, how in the world could they believe that? How could they fall for that? How could they take that? How could they do this? But I can tell you, there's a great seducer. The Bible said that we sin when we're drawn out after our own lust and enticed. And he's a great seducer. And in the last days, in the latter end, he said it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's why you need to stay in the Word of God. You need to have your heart filled with the Word of God. You need to stay close to the things of God and keep everything in your heart. Notice what he said in verse number 5. For it is sanctified. He's talking about the eating of meats and so on. But he said it is sanctified through the Word of God and prayer. And listen, that's how you stay faithful to God. Through the reading of the Word of God, studying the Word of God. Wicked men are going to get waxing worse. So here's what I'm telling you. When you begin to see things happen in your community and on the television, and you begin to say, what in the world is going on in America? You ought to know it's going to happen. Don't be surprised. Don't worry. It's going to happen. You're to be faithful. You're to pray. You're to do good things. You're to be continue doing what God wants you to do. Notice something else. Turn over to the book of 2 Peter. Wicked men are going to wax worse and worse in sin. Wicked men are going to wax worse and worse in seduction. But look in 2 Peter in chapter number 3. All the way back towards the book of Revelation. Find the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 3. Listen to what it says. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And he goes on, he talks about these people that they are willingly ignorant. And he talks about how the world is kept in storage. Once destroyed when the flood, but it's reserved now for fire. You're talking about global warming. It's coming. Al Gore was right. But it didn't come from, it's not going to come from pollution, from automobiles. It's not going to come from cows. There is global warming coming. But it's coming from the wrath of Almighty God. The Bible says the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. In this passage of Scripture, it says that. And he says it's kept in store. And notice what it says, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, the same are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of these things, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a door, as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he says this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He said, look, global warming's coming. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. They call real estate, they call property real estate because it's permanent, but really it's not. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. I promise you, wicked men are going to get worse and worse. Sin is going to grow. Seduction is going to grow. And then the scoffing is going to grow. People just make fun of the coming of the Lord. But I promise you, it's coming. It's coming very soon. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Second thing, not only are wicked men going to wax worse and worse, but the wicked one will war against the church. While you're there in 2 Peter, turn back to 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in faith. Note the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen, not only are wicked men going to wax worse and worse, but the wicked one will continue to war against the church. I promise you it's going to happen. How's he going to do that? Well, he's going to try to do it by defilement. He's going to try to get you involved and contaminate with sin. He'll try to get you, he'll mess up your thoughts. He'll war against your mind. He'll get you to have bitterness and jealousy and wicked thoughts. He'll war against you with pornography and everything else. He's going to try to defeat you, destroy you. He's going to try to defile you, try to get you dirty, try to get you to where you can't have the power of God on you and get you to where you don't love the Lord, you don't love the church, you don't love the Bible. He'll try to defile you, but he's also going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get you to say, well, if all this thing is happening, if men are going to get worse and worse, if the spiritual attack is going to get worse and worse, why don't we just throw up our hands and quit? We can't quit because God's going to be faithful. God's going to keep on. And he says in both these passages of Scripture, you do what you're supposed to do. Just keep on being faithful to Jesus. Just keep on serving God. He's going to try to defile you. He'll try to discourage you. He's going to try not only to get you to, he just want to quit. You just want to throw up your hands and throw in the towel and quit. But not only is he going to do that, he's going to try to derail you. He's going to try to get you from doing the main thing. We have a theme in Sunday school. Brother Ricky has prayed about it and got a theme for every month, just like Brother Sammy did, a theme for every month. And then several have turned in thing, and I think we've kind of decided, felt like the Lord led us that away. And there were some great ones, by the way. But there is an urgency about this thing. He said, be thou faithful. You ought to do what we ought to do. And you know what? You ought to bring a friend. You ought to bring them in 2010. Get them in under the sound of the gospel. What can you do? What can you do in the dark days that you're living in? Well, you need to be faithful. Satan's going to keep doing what he's going to do. He's going to try to derail you. He'll try to get your mind on everything else. Try to get you away from the main purpose. He's going to try to get churches involved in everything but soul winning. He's going to try to get churches involved and derail it into all kind of things. I'm not here to fight political battles. I have a political view. And I'm a citizen of America. And I have a right to express that political view. But I've got sense enough to know. I don't care if it's a Democrat, a Republican, or independent, or libertarian. Our answer is not in Washington. It's in heaven. And the only hope of America is that we would turn to the Lord. Satan's going to try to derail us. And I'll tell you something else. He said, you have a roaring lion who's seeking about to devour you. He wants to totally wreck your home. He wants to destroy you. And you need to be faithful to the Lord. Last thing this morning, not only are wicked men going to wax worse and worse, not only is the wicked one going to war against the church, but I want to tell you something. Our wonderful Savior will remain faithful. He's going to stay faithful to us. And he'll be with us no matter what. In the book of Hebrews, there's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 13 here for just another moment. Hebrews chapter number 13. Here's this wonderful passage of Scripture. And he talks about what you and I are to do. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels. Remember that in bonds as bond with them, and them which suffer adversities, being yourself in the body. He talks about marriage being honorable and all. He talks about all of these things and what a wonderful blessing they are. But look at verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll tell you one thing you can depend on. You can't depend on politicians. You can't depend on government. You can't depend. There's one person you can depend on. And he told that to Cyrus, told that to Israel. He's the Lord. He doesn't change. He's the rock that you can stand on. You can depend on him. He's faithful to the end. You say, Brother Billy, how faithful? He said in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, he is the Savior. He's a faithful Savior. You know who will save in 2000? I don't care how dark it gets, how wicked it gets in America. I don't care how wicked people get. I don't care how wicked a sinner comes and falls before the Lord. You know what he said? He said he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. There's not one person, not one person that he didn't die for and shed his blood for. He's a faithful Savior. And our culture is such and our climate is such that men are waxing worse and worse. But the gospel is still the same. Because you see this, listen, every person who's lost is dead in trespasses and sin. They always have been. They always will be. You see, they were dead when I was born in 1946. Lost people were dead in trespasses and sin. And when God called me to preach and I started in the pastoral ministry in 1968, they were dead in sin. And here we are, 2010, and guess what? They're still dead. And dead is dead is dead. They've always been dead. And it's always taken the work of the Holy Spirit of God to awaken a consciousness in them to see their losses and the need of a Savior. And they don't go so far that God's grace can't reach them. I like that old song, His grace reached further down and He reached down and picked me up. They're dead in trespass and sin. They're not going to get more dead. They're going to remain there. And God the Holy Ghost is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to think. Listen, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's sufficient as a Savior. He'll be faithful as a Savior, but He'll be safe. He'll remain faithful as a sustainer. He said like this, He that which begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to take care of His children. God's going to take care of His children. God, most of us, you know, we all have more than we could ever desire. Brother Tom Feliciano, in one of the emails he just sent me recently, they're trying to finish the first floor of their school building. They got classes in two of the rooms, and they got two more rooms to finish. $3,000, they could completely finish those rooms. And they want to do it before May, because in May it starts raining. But God's faithful. They don't have anything. I mean, they don't have anything. And I talked to Brother Tom on the phone last night, it was before Sunday there. It's nighttime there now. But I can't remember, last day or two, anyway, I talked to him. I said, Brother Tom, I said, what are you going to preach on Sunday? He said, I'm going to preach on great is thy faithfulness. And he's a faithful sustainer. I promise you this, he's going to take care of his children. We don't have to live in the house we're living in now. We don't have to have all the clothes we got in our closet now. But I can promise you one thing, he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide everything we need. He's a faithful sustainer, and he'll carry you through. He's going to take care of you. He's take care of his children. He's faithful to save. He's faithful to sustain. My friend, he'll be there with you, and he'll help you through all the problems. He's a faithful intercessor. I'm thankful for your prayers and so many Christmas cards and gifts and kind thoughts to me and my family. And Brother Tom's note, and people always acknowledging your kindness and your cards and your phone calls. And thank God for that. But can I tell you something? If something were to happen and the devil tripped me up and I get out of the ministry, I want you to know one thing. He's still faithful. He's still faithful. And if something happens to all of this church family for some reason or another, and God forbid that we'd all just abandon you, I want you to know one thing. There's somebody you can depend on. The Bible said he ever lives to make intercession for you. He's faithful. I can promise you one thing in 2010. If everybody in America and everybody you know quits praying for you, Jesus Christ will continue to make intercession. Brother Burke has been amazing most of his life and ministered to most of us. Never known a greater prayer warrior. Never known a greater soul winner. Such a passionate soul. Last time in the hospital, this time he's been so sick. But last time, just a few weeks ago in hospital, he led a dear lady to the Lord and have a dear nurse here today that he invited to church. And she and her husband have been with us for the last several Sundays. And I went 3 days ago, and Brother Burke was almost, he's turning a little yellow and just looked like death could come at any moment. I went back the next day, and he was somewhat responsive. He kind of batted his eyes when I spoke to him. He mouthed some words. The hospice was in singing to him, and he would try to make like singing sounds while they were singing. And it was just so much different. And when the family came back in before they left, I quoted some scripture to him, leaned over and quoted scripture and held his hand and prayed with him. And after I prayed, and I said, Preacher Burke, you're going to keep praying for me, aren't you? And he said, just as clear as I'm going to say it now, he said, absolutely. Still praying. And I appreciate the prayers of that dear man. He's trying to find a place to cross the river. He's up and down the river just finding a good place to cross to go into glory land. And God had been God's time. But he's still praying for you. He's still got you on his heart in this church, in this ministry, still praying. But when Brother Burke leaves us and he goes to be with the Lord, I want you to know there's somebody that's going to continue to pray for you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And right now at the right hand of God, he's faithful. He's going to be faithful. He'll be faithful to honor his word. He said, my word will not return void. We may not see thousands come to Christ, but around the world there are thousands and thousands of people coming to Jesus Christ. But he'll honor his word. I promise you, just as sure as he ever has, when we'll preach the word of God and we'll be faithful to preach the word of God, God will honor his word. He said, my word will not return unto me void. It accomplished what I took care of to you. Can I tell you something? He'll be a faithful companion. My heart's broken from time to time when I hear of marriages break up, wedding vows broken, and people break up. But you know what? The Bible teaches us, and the Word of God says this. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I want to tell you one thing. He's going to be a faithful companion. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what I'm going to go through. We all may find out in the next visit to the doctor that we don't have many days to live. But I can tell you one thing. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll go with you through it all, through every darkness of the world. He's faithful. I can tell you one thing, regardless of what happens, and with wicked men waxing worse and the wicked one warring against the church, our wonderful Savior will remain faithful in 2010. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. I want to ask you a question. And you know, you think about it. I thought about it with GP and Mary Strevel, his sister. I stood there and held Mary's hand when she died. And she was just very peaceful. And I watched the monitor. I held her hand and I saw that line do like it does on television. Go perfectly. There was nothing, no movement at all in her hand. There was no twitching. There was no snatching. It was perfect peace. And Brother Burke, right now, according to the medical profession, he's dying. And he's going to die. I left there the other day to ride around. I said, I wonder what you think when you're laying there dying, knowing you're dying. People around you, you hear them, they're conscious. I wonder what thoughts are going through your mind. How do you die? How do you die? How will you die? The Bible said, blessed in the sight of the Lord, precious sight of the Lord, or the death of his saints. When a saint of God leaves, it's a precious thing. I want to ask you how you're going to die. I tell you how you can die right if you know he's with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you get ready to cross that river, you know he's with you. You won't have anything to fear. When you get ready to go out of here, you can leave in peace if you know him. Tragic thing is, so many in this building will not have a chance to prepare at the point of death. You'll not have opportunity to lay in a hotel or in a hospital room by yourself in the quietness. My daddy died. I don't know if my daddy's saved or not. My mama said just before he died, he had asked her to go out of the room, said he had to talk to God about some things. Went to church one time in all of his life that I know of. I don't know if he's in heaven or not. Don't know if I ever see him again or not. But you may not even have that opportunity. You may not know. You may not have an opportunity. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between thee and death. One step, and you'll be out of this world, either in heaven or hell. If I were you, I know what the Bible says, that he's able to save all that call upon him. Will you bow your heads in prayer right now with every head bowed, every eye closed? What's going to happen in 2010? I don't know what will happen on the political scene. I don't know what's going to happen to the economy, but I can promise you one thing on the basis of the Word of God. Wicked men will wax worse and worse. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. If you've ever done any traveling anywhere else in the world, what you see in the world is here in America. And it's going to get worse. Now don't be shocked and don't be surprised. You're to be faithful. You're to pray. You're to witness. You live for God, to be a light shining in a dark world. And don't get despondent. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. It's happening. It's going to happen. Don't be surprised when it does. You can weep over it. You can pray over it. Be witness. But I promise you it's going to happen. And don't feel like you're alone when the devil comes against you. Don't think it strange when fiery trials shall test you. Because the wicked one is going to war against the church. He's going to fight you with everything he's got in 2010. But can I give you a word? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you can overcome him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's still powerful. But in spite of all of that, I want this to get in your heart this morning. And I intended to go back to Isaiah 45. You go back and look at it. And look at the I wills of the Lord in there. He said, I will open the door. I will sustain thee. I'll be with thee. I'll do this and I'll do that. And it said, he'll save Israel, not for reward. He's going to do it because of his mercy and his grace. He'll be their Savior. And my dear friend, he's going to do it for those of you who will trust him. Can I ask you a question? Seriously, have you ever thought about that? And this is, I know it's a happy time of the year for many. But if you were laying in a hospital bed knowing that you're going to cross the river, you're going to die, How would you die? You don't have to wait till then. You can know now. You can give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. This is between you and Him. He knew Cyrus's name before Cyrus ever knew him. He was working Cyrus's life before Cyrus ever knew there was a Jehovah God. He directed his steps and He's worked in your life. There's no accident you're here today. You may be a visitor guest, but I want to tell you, God knows you. He knows all about you. Not just the fact that you walked in this building, but He knew you before you were ever born. He knew you when His Son was clothed in human flesh and laid in a manger in Bethlehem. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And that's why He sent His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And right now, that holy God who created the heavens, He repeated that over and over again. He said, I made the world. I created everything. And I'm the same God who will take care of you. You can trust me. I am the only God. But will you trust Him now as your Savior?